which is entitled The Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple, connected with the Rathyatra Festival. I'm sure some of you would know that a couple of weeks ago, a month ago now, we had our Rathyatra Festival in Durban on the beachfront. It was very nice. And that festival is the original festival is held in India, in Orissa, on the east coast. And they take the Jagannath deities, Jagannath, who's a form of Lord Krishna, and his brother, Lord Balaram, and their sister, Subhadra. They're taken from the Jagannath temple, big, big temple there, in Jagannath Puri. And then they're taken down to the Gundicha temple. That is straight down the main road at Jagannath, in Jagannath Puri. And then they stay there for about a week, 8 days, something like that. Then they come back. There's a return Rathyatra. So, just shortly before the Rathyatra festival, that Gundicha temple, where the deities go for that week, that is cleaned and prepared so it's suitable for the deities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to go there. So that festival has been going on for thousands of years, and when Lord Chaitanya, who, as we said, is the most recent incarnation of God, when he was personally present here on this planet, he stayed some time, quite some time, 18 years or so, in Jagannath Puri, and every year he would take part in that Rathyatra festival. It's an annual festival. And every year he would take part in this particular part of the festival of cleaning the Gundicha temple, getting it ready. And he would spare nothing to get the Gundicha temple spotless, super spotless, just unbelievable. So there's a very nice description here in Chaitanya Charitamrita of how Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they cleaned the temple 1 year, and then it is compared to the processes which devotees go through when they're cleaning their own hearts so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead may come and sit within the heart of the devotee. Yeah. So it's very special, actually. So let's read some of these verses. We'll read some of the verses which describe the cleaning of the temple, and then there's one purport in particular by Srila Prabhupada where he elaborately discusses this cleaning program of Lord Chaitanya's with our process of cleaning the heart. It's very nice. Okay, so let us read here. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
The next day, early in the morning, the Lord took his personal associates with him and with his own hand, smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies. He then gave each devotee a broom with his own hand. And, taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to Gundicha. In this way, the Lord and his associates went to cleanse the Gundicha temple. At first, they cleansed the temple with the brooms. The Lord cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, Singhasan, sitting place of the deities, cleansed it, and again put it in its original place. Thus the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple's buildings, big and small, and finally cleansed the area between the temple and the Kirtan hall. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operation just to instruct others. Lord Chaitanya washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting and at the same time performing their respective duties. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way, it became transcendentally beautiful. At times, when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears. And in some places, he even cleansed with those tears. After Lord Chaitanya collected all the straw, dust, and grains of sand in one place, he collected it all in his cloth and threw it outside. Following the example of Lord Chaitanya, all the devotees in great jubilation began to gather straws and dust with their own cloths and threw them outside the temple. The Lord then told the devotees, "I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust you've collected outside." Even though all the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Lord Chaitanya was much greater. The Lord then ordered everyone to cleanse the inside of the temple very perfectly by taking finer dust, straws, and grains of sand and throwing them outside. After Lord Chaitanya and all the Vaishnavas cleansed the temple for the second time, Lord Chaitanya was very happy to see the cleaning work. When the temple was being swept, about 100 men stood ready with filled water pots, and they simply awaited the Lord's order to throw the water from them. As soon as Lord Chaitanya called for water, all the men immediately brought the 100 water pots, which were completely filled, and delivered them before the Lord. In this way, Lord Chaitanya first washed the main temple, and then thoroughly washed the ceiling, the walls, the floor, the sitting place, and everything else within the room. Then Lord Chaitanya began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath with his own hands. And all the devotees began to bring water to the Lord. All the devotees within the temple began to wash. Someone brought water to pour into the hands of Lord Chaitanya, and someone poured water on his lotus feet. The water that fell from the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya was drunk by someone who hid himself. Someone else begged for that water, and another person was giving that water in charity. After the room was washed, the water was let out through an outlet, and it flowed and filled the yard outside. Yes, so this cleansing operation is going on. Super cleansing. When the temple was cleansed, it was purified, cool and pleasing, just as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. Hundreds of devotees brought water in pots, and hundreds took the empty pots away to fill them again. One person begged for a water pot by chanting the holy names, Krishna, Krishna. And another delivered a pot while chanting, Krishna, Krishna. Whenever anyone had to speak, he did so by uttering the holy name of Krishna. Consequently, the holy name of Krishna became an indication for everyone who wanted something. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was vibrating the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love, he himself was performing the work of hundreds of men. When he saw someone doing nicely, the Lord praised him. But if he saw that someone was not working to his satisfaction, he immediately chastised that person, not bearing him any grudge. The Lord would say, "You have done well. Please teach this to others so that they may act in the same way." As soon as they heard Lord Chaitanya say this, everyone became ashamed. Thus the devotees began to work with great attention. After everything was thoroughly washed, a devotee from Bengal who was very intelligent and simple, came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord was kneeling on top of the altar with his feet over the edge. So this devotee came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. The devotee then took that water and drank it himself. Seeing that, Lord Chaitanya felt a little unhappy and was also outwardly angry. Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. The Lord then called for Swarup Damodar and told him, "Just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnava. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. I now do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnav has greatly implicated me." At this point, Swarup Damodar Goswami caught the Bengali Vaishnava by the neck, and giving him a little push, ejected him from the Gundicha temple and made him stay outside. This is a very subtle thing which is going on here. After Swarup Damodar returned within the temple, he requested Lord Chaitanya to excuse that innocent person. After this incident, Lord Chaitanya was very satisfied. He then asked all the devotees to sit down in two lines on both sides. The Lord then personally sat down in the middle and picked up all kinds of straw, grains of sand, and dirty things. While Lord Chaitanya was picking up the straws and grains of sand, he said, "I shall gather everyone's collection, and I shall ask whoever has collected less than the others to pay a fine of sweet cakes and sweet rice." In this way, all the quarters of the Gundicha temple were completely cleansed and cleared. waters were cool and spotless, like a devotee's clean and purified mind. So in this long purport, four and a half, five page purport by Srila Prabhupada, the verse is, outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could tell exactly how this was done. So they performed this amazing cleaning operation to get the temple suitably clean. First of all, they cleaned it. So clean. It was spotless. You couldn't see any dirt. Then Lord Chaitanya said, let us clean it again. They may have wondered, why? It's already clean. But when they cleaned it again, they saw that they got more dirt than they did the first time. Just see. And Lord Chaitanya on his own collected more dirt than anyone else. And then they cleaned it again. So this is very incredible cleaning operation. And as we read, Lord Chaitanya was very jubilant. When we clean, like they say, a man may work from dusk to dawn, but a woman's work is never done. Do you say that in South Africa also? Was that only from New Zealand? That's what the ladies say anyway. That the lady it's just 24 hours a day. And probably they're not so jubilant when cleaning the house. Probably they don't clean the ceiling. Do you, ladies? Not so much. Yes, but Lord Chaitanya was ecstatic. Cleaning and cleaning and more cleaning. So much water. Cleaning and washing. Incredible cleaning operation. And it was just ecstatic. Everyone was just ecstatic. Because they're cleaning for Krishna. It's a devotional service to Krishna. And when one renders devotional service, then even the most ordinary, boring thing becomes wonderful and glorious. I remember when I first started visiting our Hare Krishna temple in London. That was at the end of 1972. So at that time I was 21 and I had more or less withdrawn from the lifestyle of day-to-day working. I felt this was not really worth it. I had retired at the age of 21. It's a bit of a long story how it came to that, but that was how I was seeing things at the time. It wasn't really worth it. So then I came to the temple, and on the second or third day, they asked me if I would mind doing something. So I thought, well, I guess not. I wouldn't say I was that excited about it. They asked me if I would clean the bathroom. So I thought, oh, really? So then they gave me the things to clean the bathroom, and I started cleaning, feeling not really so very happy about that, but feeling I was a little obliged to do so, seeing I'd been coming a few days and eating with them and so on. So I started cleaning, and within 5 minutes, I felt very blissful. Very blissful. It was amazing. I felt so happy. And then I thought, yes, this is nice. Now I've got something to work for. I can work for Krishna. And it was so nice cleaning the bathroom, cleaning the toilet, things like this. Oh, I was very happy. That was a turning point. I realized that I had prematurely retired and that I shouldn't retire from working for Krishna. Because even some ordinary task done for Krishna, even if you're a big important person, and you do some ordinary task for Krishna, it's very nice, very wonderful. Just like we mentioned, this is all part of the build-up to the big Rath Yatra festival. And that is very big. Millions of people sometimes. Very, very big. So they pull the big chariots down the main street from the Jagannath temple to the Gundicha temple. With ropes, the people pull the big chariots. And at the beginning, the king, there's still a sort of ceremonial king there in Jagannath Puri, descended from that old family who actually used to rule. So the tradition is that when they begin pulling the chariots, then the king takes a broom and he sweeps the road in front of the chariots. The king. He's the most important, most powerful, most wealthy person in the whole area, the whole region. But he takes his humble position, sweeping the street, because in India particularly, sweeping the street, they call it bungi. The bungi's job, street sweeper, rubbish collector's job. That is like the most humble of the humble occupations, to be a bungi. Yeah, that's considered the lowest occupation, because you're dealing with your life is revolving around things people have thrown away, things nobody wants, things everyone has thrown away, but your life is focused on that. That's a pretty humble position, isn't it? So you see them still nowadays in India diving into the drains, pulling into the sewers, clearing them out and all this. Oh, quite something. Quite something. So the king, the biggest, most important person at the beginning of that Rath Yatra festival, the king himself takes a broom and he sweeps in front of Lord Jagannath. And he's happy, so happy to do that. In fact, if the king is not present, then they try to find the next biggest person, the next most important person. And if the king is not there, then various important people, of course, will be there, such a big occasion. And they will compete and vie for the opportunity. I want to sweep. No, I want to sweep. So sometimes they have to have four or five or six brooms so they can all sweep. Yes. So even very humble service for Krishna like this is considered by the devotee, is considered the most wonderful thing. Most wonderful. And the devotee considers himself so fortunate to get some simple service for Krishna. So anyway, this cleansing operation then is compared to, this cleansing operation, cleaning Gundicha temple, is compared here to the process of cleaning the heart. Because our hearts, we've been in this material world long time. And anything, if you leave it just standing for a long time and you don't clean it regularly, anything will become dirty. Yeah. So our hearts, we have not cleaned our hearts for a long time. And so much dirt and dust and grains of straw and sand, all these things have accumulated within the heart. So Krishna consciousness means that process through which we cleanse away all these things. And just like we saw with Lord Chaitanya, it's quite a process. It's not you just clean once and then you're finished. Or you clean twice. Now you may have to clean a number of times before you actually get the dirt, all the dirt, And there are different levels of dirt. Different levels of dirt. And they're all cleansed at different stages in the cleaning operation. Yeah. So let's just read a little bit. I won't read the whole purport, but just a little bit. In commenting on the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the world leader, was personally giving instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within one's cleansed and pacified heart. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart, as prescribed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastaka, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. In this age, everyone's heart is especially unclean, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Hridyantaksto Hyabhadrani. To wash away all dirty things accumulated within the heart, Lord Chaitanya advised everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The first result will be that the heart is cleansed. Chaito Darpana Marjana. If a devotee at all wants to cleanse his heart, he must chant and hear the glories of the Lord, Sri Krishna. This is a simple process. Krishna himself will help cleanse the heart because he is already seated there. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart. And the Lord wants to give directions, but one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept the Gundicha temple. The devotee therefore has to cleanse his heart just as the Lord cleansed the Gundicha temple. In this way one can be pacified and enriched in devotional service. If the heart is filled with straw, grains of sand, weeds or dust, one cannot enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives brought about through fruit of work, speculative knowledge, the mystic yoga system, and so many other forms of so-called meditation. The heart must be cleansed without ulterior motives. There should be no external motive. One should not attempt material upliftment. Understanding the Supreme by speculative knowledge, fruit of activity, severe austerity and penance, and so on. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as these are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit to serve as Krishna's sitting place. So, Prabhupada goes on like this, and Prabhupada explains how there are different stages in the cleaning process. By his practical example, Lord Chaitanya has shown us that all the grains of sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown outside. Lord Chaitanya also cleansed the outside of the temple, fearing that the grains of sand would again come within. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that even though one may become free from the desire for fruit of activity, sometimes the subtle desire for fruit of activity again comes into being within the heart. So this is compared to the This is just showing what the process is about. The first cleansing that was done is compared to when a devotee first takes to Krishna consciousness and begins following the regulative principles. When one does that, first takes to Krishna consciousness and begins following the regulative principles. When one does that, then one becomes free from material activity as such. However, even though one may have become free from these desires, the subtle desire for fruitive activity again comes into being within the heart. One may think of conducting business to improve devotional activity, but the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, described as kutinati, fault-finding, and pratishta, the desire for name and fame and for high position, jiva himsa, envy of other living entities, nishid acha, accepting things forbidden in the scriptures, kama, desire for material gain, and puja, hankering for popularity. In other words, when one first takes to Krishna consciousness and first adopts the different principles and becomes free, stops those bad activities that one was performing previously. So one has to be very careful, otherwise those things may come back into the heart again and manifest in more subtle form. For example, instead of simply desiring to engage in meat-eating, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex, in gross ways, but subtle versions of these things may come in the form of, for example, here, Srila Prabhupada mentions the term nishid achar, accepting things forbidden in the scriptures. That one may be, of course, in this case we could give the example of eating meat or taking intoxication, that one may not be doing those things. But still, one may not be careful. In fact, one may lose one's carefulness about avoiding certain types of foodstuffs which may have contaminated ingredients. In other words, you don't read the ingredients list on the label so carefully. Just say, well, it must be okay. It's probably okay. Something like that. Yeah. So in this way, one may fall into a habit of accepting things which are forbidden in scripture, even though one is not engaged directly in, for example, meat eating. Or one may not engage in illicit sex life, but still one may be affected by what is referred to here as puja, hankering for popularity, pratishta, the desire for name and fame and high position. These are said to be subtle forms of the attraction between male and female. Profit, adoration, distinction. These are subtle forms of that, directly connected with that. Although one may not be engaged directly in that, but subtly it may come in, and one finds that one is inclined, hankering, trying to arrange for these types of things for oneself. So, this is something a little delicate, actually, for a devotee who's practicing Krishna consciousness. This is the second phase of the cleansing operation.
Someone may have gone through the first phase. They may be chanting 16 rounds a day, following the regulative principles. In this way, they may be able to become initiated, for example. But then if they're not very careful, then these subtle contaminations will sneak in and contaminate the devotee's devotional service. And the devotee may even fall down. Yes. The devotee may even fall down from devotional service. So in a sense then, these things are considered more dangerous. Because they may attack a person who has already given up the more gross versions of just gross material sense gratification. So therefore it's said in this description here that Lord Chaitanya and the devotees, they cleaned the temple the first time, and then people looked at it and they thought, oh, it's clean. It's very clean. There's no more dirt here. This is like the devotee who's now following the regulative principles. But then Lord Chaitanya said, no, we'll clean it again. And I'll compete with all of you. And he did that. And the second time, even though they thought, some of them thought, there is no more dirt, there's nothing more to get out, it's all out. But the second time, they got more. Isn't that interesting? The second time, they got more. And then what did they do? Did they stop? No, then they continued bringing gallons and gallons and hundreds of liters of water and throwing it everywhere, even on the ceiling. Even on the ceiling. Very amazing cleaning operation. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they're bringing our attention to the fact that this cleansing operation, this process of cleaning the heart, is really quite an operation. It's not just some once-off thing you do in the early days, and then you've done it, and your heart is clean, and away you go, and everything is fine. Well, it doesn't work like that. This is an ongoing process, different stages, different things to look for. Different things to look for. So we should bear that in mind. We should consider like this. How to cleanse the heart completely. To be willing to cleanse the heart completely. That means that the devotee has to be willing to become free from all forms, any form of material influence. The process for doing that, Prabhupada mentions here, that process is to chant the holy names. To chant the holy names offenselessly. Many devotees chant the holy names, but not so many devotees chant the holy names offenselessly. Are you all chanting the holy names? Are you all chanting the holy names? Most of you? Yeah. How many of you are chanting the holy names offenselessly? Not so many? Probably not so many. Gopika, are you chanting the holy names offenselessly? Anyway, so that is quite an achievement actually. But this is one of the main things we're meant to be doing. Working on how to chant the holy names offenselessly. Prabhupada says here, even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, material success, and the four principles of religious activity, dharma, artha, karma, and moksha, or material religiosity, fruit of gain, sense gratification, and liberation. All these are like spots on clean cloth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to cleanse all these away. By his practical activity, Lord Chaitanya informed us how to cleanse our hearts. Once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down. And we should observe the festival by distributing prasadam and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Yes. So we should try and cleanse our hearts. This Krishna consciousness is not just some ritualistic, religious type of performance. Generally in material life, so many people are following religion in one form or another. But generally, there's some material motivation there. Just like the Christians say, they pray, give us this day our daily bread. So their idea is that if I do my religious duties nicely, then God may give me a loaf of bread. He may reward me in some material way. Or in Hinduism it's very much like that. People perform kavadi, Tamil people perform kavadi, in order to get something. Generally it's like that. People think that religion means some pious way of acquiring material facilities. But Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya is showing us that real religion, real spiritual life means how to completely cleanse the heart altogether of any form of material influence, even very subtle. Just like here Prabhupada mentions impersonalism or moksha, the desire for liberation. Such a desire may arise in the heart of a devotee. Of course, in the classic sense, the desire for liberation means that one is desiring actually to merge with the effulgence of the Lord, that all-pervading spiritual light. One is desiring to merge with that, in the classic sense. So of course not so many devotees would be thinking about merging with the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Have you thought about doing that, Jason? We may not even know much about that Brahma Jyoti, let alone seriously want to merge into it. However, within devotional service, sometimes some tendency towards the desire for liberation may arise in the heart of the devotee, in the sense that sometimes a devotee may be rendering devotional service, but that service, there may be some difficulty arising in the course of performing that service. So then the devotee may desire, let me give up this service and find an easier service. Sometimes when our devotees are out distributing books on the street, sometimes no one will take a book, and rather people tell you to get a job or, you know, something to get out of the way or something like that. These things happen. Actually, one time, one devotee, someone told, one businessman got very irritated and told him to get a job, not be a parasite, to do something useful, things like that. So the devotee, and he got angry about it, you know, very agitated. Why are you just here on the street? You should do something useful. Get a job. So the devotee went back, and Srila Prabhupada was staying there in the temple that was in Los Angeles. And the devotee told Srila Prabhupada that I met this person, and he told me these things. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, he is seeing that you are not working like him. Rather, you are very happy. You can just move around as you like. But he has to work hard in some very unpleasant job. So he... So the devotee may be out distributing books or doing any service. The devotee may be running a temple. Devotee may even be running his or her family. And the going may get difficult.
And then the devotee thinks, this is too difficult, let me give it up. Liberation. Liberation. Let me get liberated from all this stress and strain of serving Krishna and do something easy. So in this way, in a subtle way, a desire like that may enter their minds. Yes. Or the devotee may become attached to name and fame. The devotee may be distributing books. And every day the book distribution results are read out. And that particular devotee may do very well every day and come first every day, and all the devotees may clap and appreciate, but the devotee may become attached to that and feel, oh, very good, they are applauding me. But one day the devotee does very well, somehow the person reading out the scores forgets to read out their name. So no applause, no clapping. But if the devotee has allowed himself or herself to become attached to that, I like to hear myself glorified, then that day when they're not glorified, then they may feel, oh, this is very bad. I won't go out today. They don't appreciate me. Yes. Or the devotee may be the cook, cooking for all the other devotees, and wanting to be praised for that, or maybe getting praised for that. Oh, such nice prasadam you made. So the devotee is getting some taste from that. Oh yes, being glorified. And the devotee may even get into the practice of sort of fishing for praise. How was the prasadam today? Oh, very nice. Oh. And one day the devotee cook asks, how was the prasadam today? Oh, it was horrible. And then, I give up. So like this, some subtle attachments may arise within the heart. And we may think, we may be following the regulative principles and not taking intoxication and all these various things, engaging in illicit sex life, not eating meat, not gambling, chanting our rounds, and doing these things. And we may think, oh yes, me, I've become purified. But it's not so simple. So Lord Chaitanya is showing that we have to be very, you could say practically, fastidious, attentive to the nth degree, that when we've become situated in Krishna consciousness, watch out for these subtle contaminations. Be very careful for the subtle contaminations. And never think that, oh yes, me, oh, I'm purified. My heart is pure. I'm okay. Devotee, intelligent devotee will never think like that. But rather the intelligent devotee, even on the topmost level, when the devotee may actually be completely purified, but then the devotee is still thinking, oh, I have so many shortcomings, I must be so careful. Actually, Prabhupada explains that Maya Devi is the presiding deity of the material nature, that material energy which is influencing us to fall from spiritual life. So Maya Devi, she's a pure devotee. And her duty as a devotee is to test the neophyte devotees like us. And if there's any weakness, to expose that and bring it out. Until the devotee has addressed everything. So Maya Devi, she's very persistent. We may think, ah, just see, I'm out of Maya now. Then Maya shows, no, you're not. Till finally, when the devotee becomes actually completely purified devotee, then Maya Devi will come and offer her obeisances to the devotee. then she leaves the devotee alone. But then she doesn't. Then she comes back and says, do you mind if I stay with you? Because I'd like to get your association. She feels like that for her own benefit. Yes. So this process of Krishna consciousness is very deep. This is not just a matter of going to the temple on Tuesday, on Sunday, or whenever, even every day, and just praying, oh Krishna. Sometimes you see people, particularly in India, they pray like this. See that? And you know what they're... The idea is not that, you know, here Krishna take something. It's the other way. Here Krishna, fill them up. Fill them up, please. And you see them with such like, you know, like emotional expressions. Not like that. Krishna consciousness is not really like that. That means Kanishta Adhikari, or the very beginning stage. The very beginning stage. Where one has not really, it has not become clear in the mind that I'm the servant. And that my every activity, my every thought, my every breath, everything should be for the pleasure of Krishna. Yeah. So this process of Krishna consciousness is very deep. Sometimes Hindu people, because, you know, Krishna consciousness has its roots in India, so sometimes Hindu people think that Krishna consciousness is just like a kind of better form of what they used to do as Hindus. Praying, you know, give me this, give me that. Give me a house and a car and a color TV. Om Jai Jagadisha. Like that. But no. Krishna consciousness is something much deeper, much more profound. It's a process like Lord Chaitanya showed. You go very deep, right in, you get everything out. When you think you've got everything out, you go back in and you get more. So it's a process for going deep into the heart, penetrating right to the very depths of our being until we take out all that residual dirt which has been there, collecting there for many lifetimes. However, because the process of chanting is so powerful, then even though it may have taken many lifetimes to accumulate that stock of dirt deep, deep, deep in the heart, but just in a short time, that process of chanting Hare Krishna is so powerful, just in a short time, it can all be cleansed out. Just within one lifetime, less than one lifetime, part of a lifetime, even if you're really serious, instantly, immediately. Just depends on you. It may take 1 second if you are totally committed and totally serious, or it may never happen if you're not serious. Or if you're half-hearted, it may take a number of lifetimes. Yeah. So we should try and look on Krishna consciousness like that, as a very serious, as very practical process for going deep within our hearts and uprooting unwanted things which have accumulated for a long time. And then being on guard that they don't come sneaking back in subtle forms, tricky forms, trying to fool us and again take over, take some position within the heart. Yeah. So that we can do if we chant Hare Krishna without offenses, if we cultivate that, and seriously rendering practical devotional service to Krishna, then the heart can actually be cleansed. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any comments or questions, devotees?
I wondered about the point about becoming instantaneously conscious.
You'd like to? Are you sure?
That's the thing, that the story of Maharaj Katama is given, he became Krishna conscious in a second.
He did, yes.
So what's the qualification then to get that kind of determination?
Well, he...
What does it mean actually to be Krishna conscious in a second?
It means that you are willing to give up all material attachments and take complete shelter of Krishna now. So we might think that I'm willing, that's what I want, but then we don't do it. So what does that mean? It means even though we want, but we don't want that much. Yes, it's a question of degree. And at the same time, we're attached to those material things. And even though we know it's not right, and we know we shouldn't want it, and to some extent we don't want it, but we also do want it, to some extent. You know, sometimes the question, or sometimes the example of people who are addicted to smoking cigarettes, that example is given. That, you know, there's so many people who smoke cigarettes, and many of them, if you ask them, would you like to give up? They'll tell you, yes, I'd really like to give up. Isn't it? I'm sure we've all had experience, people like that. So then you can say to them, okay, do it. Then the next day you see them smoking a cigarette, and you say, but I thought you were giving up. Well, you know, this, that, the other thing. So the thing is, and some of them, they even undertake courses, they may take medication, or go see a psychiatrist, different approaches to try and break the habit. And if you ask them, do you want to give up smoking? They'll say, yes, I really want to, I really want to. Then the next day you see they're smoking. In fact, Ramanujacharya Prabhu and I, back in about 1984, we were fundraising for building our temple in Durban. And we were in Bloemfontein at the agricultural show there, big show. And just next to our little stand was the Cancer Association. And they had all their displays about why you shouldn't smoke and cancer and all that sort of thing. So there was one young man there, and Ramanujacharya went outside one day during the day. Oh, actually, we noticed that young man, like periodically every half hour, he'd disappear and come back about 5-10 minutes later. So one day, Ramanuja walked out, and he bumped into this young man just outside. And the young man was smoking a cigarette. He said, but wait a minute, you're from the cancer stand. And, you know, what is the situation? So the man said, yes, I know, I shouldn't do it, but I just can't help myself. So there are many people, if you ask them, and some of them will tell you in all seriousness, yes, I want to give up, but tomorrow you find them smoking a cigarette. So the thing is that even though they have the desire to give up, they also have the desire not to give up. Yeah. But the thing is that it is socially unacceptable to express generally the desire that you don't want to give up. And it's very socially acceptable to say you do want to give up. So therefore they will only say that I want to give up. And they won't say that, well, I also don't want to give up, and I'll just see how it goes. But I'll tell you, no, I want to give it up. But there are two desires. This is the problem. So the answer to your question is that even though we may desire, we may have to some degree the desire that I would like to become Krishna conscious as soon as possible, even instantaneously if I could, but at the same time, we are maintaining other desires. Yeah. That's the problem. So generally, it's a gradual process. Generally, step by step, the devotee becomes free of those lower desires as the taste for serving Krishna becomes more strongly established in the heart. But the process can be accelerated or decelerated, or you can even start going backwards if you want. It just depends on you. If you want to accelerate the process, then you have to apply yourself more carefully. Prabhupada once was asked for a definition of sincerity, and Prabhupada said that sincerity means that you'll follow each and every instruction of mine, no matter how small. Yeah. So we may be